From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The fate of the River of Grass Greenway was on the table this morning at a meeting of the Collier County Metropolitan Planning Organization. It's a plan to build a bike path and walkway alongside Old U.S. 41 to cross the state. Opponents say it's too expensive and will upset the environment, while proponents argue it would bring people closer to nature and drive more ecotourism. We'll hear from both sides. Plus, the Urban Land Institute has released its recommendations for Collier County to address its lack of affordable housing. If you earn an average wage in Collier, you can only afford to live in about 15% of the homes that are there right now. We'll find out what the county needs to do to correct that and talk with a local nonprofit about how high rents impact the entire community. But first, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The biggest bill most people face every month is the rent or the mortgage. When that bill is more than half of what they earn in a month, it is a heavily burdened housing situation. And that is the case for a significant portion of the people in Collier County. The term affordable housing may make people who already have homes that they can afford tune out. But when those who work in a city can't afford to live there, they move elsewhere and take what they earned with them, setting up an unsustainable economic situation, which is why Collier County is looking to the Urban Land Institute for guidance. Philip Payne is the representative who recently shared his findings and recommendations with the county, and he joins us to go over some of those points. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us to talk about how the high cost of Collier housing impacts people is Spencer Smith with the United Way of Collier County. Thank you for being here. We are talking about the recent recommendations given to Collier County to help deal with the fact that few who work there can afford to live there. Have you priced housing in Collier, and do you work there and live somewhere else? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Philip Payne with the Urban Land Institute. First, tell me a little bit about what your organization does.
Well, the Urban Land Institute is an 80-year-old organization that has about 40,000 members worldwide, and our goal is to provide leadership in the responsible use of land and in creating and sustaining thriving communities. Our membership has members from virtually every discipline that you can think of that's associated with the use of land or development. And one of the services we provide are these panels, like the one that was just done in Collier. And it's important to note that the panelists who served on the panel all donated their time. They donated a week of their time. They were selected specifically to match the questions that were being asked by Collier County. They're based on their expertise. And we went through a rigorous interview and touring process, and then spent days locked in a conference room having discussions and sometimes debates over the right things to recommend. And then on Friday morning, of course, we presented to the commission our initial findings. The final report will actually be completed within about 12 weeks. It has to go through review and fact-checking and some things, but it'll be there in about 12 weeks.
Well,
what it's about.
It's pretty considerate that you give like a little sneak preview, though, right before you leave. So you've gone into other cities and communities and helped them solve similar problems like this.
Yes. I mean, we've been doing the panels now for 47 years, and there are 600 or so of these panels have been done. Right now we're doing about 15 to 20 a year, and they're on various topics. Increasingly, the topic is the issue of affordability of housing and how to deal with it, though, because it's a pressing issue all across the country, and it's exacerbated in communities that are high-income retirement communities and resort communities have a harder problem with this issue than a lot of other cities. So it's a common topic that we've been working on hard.
And if you're just joining us following NPR's live coverage of President Trump's joint press conference with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, this is WGCU's Gulf Coast Live. We are discussing challenges and opportunities when it comes to affordable housing in Collier County and other regions of Southwest Florida. To join today's conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255 with comments and questions. So, Philip, I wanted to ask you, you came to Collier County, took a look around, saw what was happening. Were you surprised at what you found here, or was it pretty similar to other, as you mentioned, retirement communities that are more affluent?
Well, you know, you're surprised in the fact that Collier is a particularly beautiful place, certainly nicer than some of the others we've been to. But the problems themselves are very, very similar. The maybe the extent to where it's happened has gotten a little farther than some other places. But the other, I guess, the other surprising thing was the county staff has done an amazing amount of work and very good work, I might add, on looking at this issue. And so part of what we did, we arrived with a far better than average briefing book. We've all read the briefing book several times. We'd had multiple conversations about the briefing book. So we sort of knew what we were going to see. And then it was a matter of going through their materials and sort of seeing the matters we thought could actually work in Collier and adding a few that might have been missing from the book. But all in all, I think the biggest surprise was the county staff is surprisingly aware, very well aware of the issue, and has been trying to address it, and we were there to help them address it.
It kind of seems like a disconnect, though, if the county staff is so focused on it and have such a good understanding of it, and it seems like it's kind of just kept going. Can you tell me a little bit about what the situation is right now on the ground in Collier as far as how bad the lack of affordable housing is?
Well, and before we go, I do want to say that the panel really looks at this as an economic issue, not so much a social issue. For a community to truly be viable and sustainable, it really needs to have housing that it's affordable to the wide range of people that are required to keep the city running. And what we started learning in Collier was, you know, it's not just service personnel like the hotel staffs and restaurant staffs, but it's young police officers, young school teachers, it's county employees, middle income seniors were struggling. The actual numbers, and by our numbers, is that 2 out of 5 households in Collier County are cost burdened, and the definition of cost burden, by the way, is that they're spending more than 30% on either their rent or their mortgage payment and their utilities and any other fees like homeowners fees, home association fees that are required. Surprisingly, 1 out of 5 households is spending more than 50%, which makes them severely cost burdened. So it is an issue. It's clearly an issue. And right now what's happening is people have just moved. You know, a surprising number of people now live in Lee County, and they're taking the money that they earn in Collier and Naples and taking it up to Lee County where they spend it, and it's all because of the cost burden in the county.
And Spencer Smith with the United Way of Collier County is sitting here nodding his head about these are the people that can't afford. We're not just talking about wait staff and restaurants and things like that. We're talking about police officers and things. And then when they have this kind of a cost burden, what happens when they spend almost all of their money, more than half of their income on rent? What gets cut?
They begin to panic, and rightfully so, because they're trying to figure out what their next move is. They're worried about if they're going to have enough money to feed their family, if they're going to be inside their apartment by the end of the month, or if they're going to be evicted. They're going to be looking to anywhere they can. And United Way of Collier County and United Ways all over the state are trying to address this problem right now. And you might be familiar with our ALICE report, which is basically the study and research on this population in particular. It's the asset-limited, income-constrained, yet employed demographic. And like you said, they are the firefighters. They are the police force. They are the Collier County government employees. They're the nurses who are just struggling to try to survive. And ever since the last great recession, we just noticed this population coming that we have never seen before for help and trying to get support for different services all across.
What kind of services do they end up coming to the United Way looking for, or United Way member organizations?
So the top one is always going to be housing, and right behind it is going to be either healthcare or utilities almost every single month of the year. We have our program that we have that we do particular. It's called Collier 211, where it's a non-emergency hotline where residents in the area can call and get an in-person operator to actually help them solve whatever issues they are having, whether it's they need support with their children's child care, housing assistance, whether it's for mortgage payments or if it's rental assistance. They'll connect them with the resources in the area. And our Collier 211, we have hundreds of resources available that are actively being used every single day.
Do you get a lot of calls on that?
We do. We get a couple hundred every month.
I didn't even know that existed until just now.
Well, that we need to get the word out more.
Well, yeah. So 211, you can just call in to United Way and find out about what kind of service organizations can help them out in a given financial crisis.
Exactly.
That's great to know. We're talking about the high cost of housing in Naples and Collier County with Philip Payne from the Urban Land Institute and also with Spencer Smith from the United Way of Collier County. Recently, Collier County was studied and there were some solutions that were offered. And you can become part of this conversation by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Here at WGCU, we have recently started a program that's called Curious Gulf Coast, in which listeners can write in questions that they have about our community. And one question that we got this week applies to zoning and building in Collier, and I understand that was one of the suggestions that was made from the Urban Land Institute. Let's have a listen to this question.
My name is Greg Davidson, and I've got a question for Curious Gulf Coast. I've heard in Collier there's some kind of a mandate that we're not supposed to build taller than six stories, and I'd like to know why isn't there more what I would call smart vertical growth, where you can have older people and younger people living in what I call a vertical village that would be close to a commercial park, healthcare spaces. To me, this would reduce driving and just make it more of a community.
And Philip, was one of the suggestions having a little bit more density and building higher?
Yes. I mean, it all comes back to this. The higher comes back as to density. Okay, everything comes back to density, and there are a lot of misconceptions in communities about density. They view density that it will increase traffic and that it will burden other public infrastructure, and that there's concerns that it will create, particularly if it's affordable or more affordable housing, that it will create crime or that will lower property values. Or there's just this long list of stuff that is all basically myth. And what we said in this finding was that, first of all, the code need to be rewritten in Naples and Collier so that your urban area, you have a code that's more specifically identified for the urban areas and a code that's more specifically identified for the more rural areas, the eastern part of the county. That the densities, you have a density bonus program, but the density bonus program is, you know, in the city, I think you can get up to 16 units per acre, and in the county, if you do everything just right, you can get up to 12. I think that's correct, if my memory is correct. The caller was right. I mean, this whole issue is this thing called density versus concentration, and they're frequently confused. So if we could just diverge a second, if I was to come to Collier and say that I was going to build a 200-unit community at the base density of 4 units per acre. All those units were going to be specified for people who make, say, 80% of household income. that would be a concentration of affordable housing. But if I was to do and say that what I want to do is take a corner of one of the shopping centers that are on the major corridors, and those a lot of those strip malls are marginal at this point.
Yeah, like there are a bunch of strip malls that have almost nothing in it.
Yes, and take some of that land, rezone it for multifamily, put a 30 unit to the acre with even a three-story. It doesn't have to go higher than three stories, even though it probably makes sense. And then do a mixed income where you have some people paying market rent and some of the units are identified for people who are paying a lower rent. You have density, but you do not have concentration. And because you're on major transportation corridors, there's buses, there people can walk, people can ride their bikes to work because they're more in the central area. So, yes, we think you really need to address the density issue. That would be a good start. Another place there in town is that the Triangle area that's being revitalized. I mean, that would be a really good place for a much taller, maybe it's 6, maybe it's 8-story multifamily rental property.
Well, sometimes there's a perception, though, when you say affordable housing, particularly in Naples, people kind of jump to low-income housing. So can you explain a little bit the difference between that?
Well, there are sort of three groups that we normally talk about, and Collier has its own vernacular, which is a little different. Normally we would talk that there's the first group is sort of the workforce. I mean, these are people who are working. They're earning between 80 and 120% of the median income, area income. Collier has itself, the county has itself identified that need for housing probably goes to 150% of the median because of the high cost of housing in Collier. They call it gap housing.
So if you're wanting to buy a house, you need to make more than 150% of what the average salary is in the area.
That, they're saying that that's a reasonable number. That's a burden because over 50% of the people who live in Collier County are in the groups that we're talking about. They're policemen, firemen, school teachers, county employees, city employees. They are the hotel staffs and the wait staffs and all this. That group makes up a huge portion of your employment base. The next group, and so those would be called, that typically is called workforce housing, even though this language causes some people to get upset. Then there's this group that typically runs from about, some people say 50% and some say 60, that from 50 or 60 to 80%. And that would be low-income housing. They're still frequently working, but, they're not. They're just not making very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, anything below that 50% number is called very low.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are going to have to clearly have assistance of some type. It's hard to make it without assistance.
Yeah.
And so, we tried to reframe the language a little bit because we're really talking about economics and cost burden here, is that... that it's a housing that is affordable to people who work in your community. Right? That's really what we're talking about. It's, it may be low income compared to the people who live in the high-end gated communities, but it's what people make in the community.
Speaking of what people make, it was not a formal recommendation, but one option that was discussed would be for Collier County to raise its minimum wage. Spencer Smith with United Way, do you think that would have any impact?
I'm not sure if that would directly have an impact or the impact that they're looking for in this situation. Affordable housing, it's a very difficult topic to tackle, and I think that's why we're still having it after so many years. Our approach to it from United Way is we're trying to just offer a hand up, not a handout. Like, we want to try to make people self-sufficient again on their own from these services that we're offering. And whether we do that through the Call Your 211, which gives them the support that they need that month just to get them back up on their feet so that they're able to survive and they're able to start thriving again on their own, or some of our other programs that kind of correlate with one another, like our VITA program, which is a volunteer income tax program where we do free filing for their federal taxes for them rather than them being out $200 for a tax accountant to get their taxes done. And we're helping them make sure that they qualify for all the credits and deductions that they qualify for, with the average return being about $1,500, with the earned income tax credit not even being utilized by like one out of five people that actually qualify for it, which can be a tax credit up from $800 to $6,000. When $6,000, you're talking about a family that only makes like $20,000. That's a huge percentage of their income that's just going to be able to allow them to pay their bills, get caught up again. Other programs like our match savings program, where we'll match $8 for every dollar saved for an individual to go back to school, get an education, and actually get a higher paying job so that they're able to support their family and themselves.
Well, the availability of higher paying jobs is another thing that was brought up too.
It's true. I think 69% of the jobs, all jobs in Florida, are make $20 or less an hour. Mm-hmm. And then 54% of those are under $15 an hour. So, I mean, it just shows you the wages are just are a little bit low to survive, especially in counties like Collier County. But
There's not a whole lot of industry there. Mr. Payne?
So we can – I just want to clarify that one of our tasks on this panel we were asked to do was to provide – examples of what other cities have been experimenting with as mm-hmm. ways to try and deal with the issue. And this minimum wage thing is one of the examples that there are now, I think at last count, 39 cities, and it's going up, are trying to set higher minimum wages as a way to help deal with this issue. But as Spencer just said, even if the minimum wage was $15 an hour, you're still at less than 50% of the median area income for Collier County. It's not gigantic. I mean, it doesn't solve the problem by any means, but it does help some of the lowest level people.
So I guess what's next then for Collier County is they need to decide at the county level if they want to do something about it or take these recommendations. And I wanted to ask you, what happens if they choose not to follow through with some of the recommendations that you made?
The panel believes that you're on the verge of a crisis, and that failure to take action, a failure to form a comprehensive view of where you want to go from here and then take action on this issue, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse, and there will be serious economic consequences at some point. There are people who vocally disagreed when I said it wasn't a crisis yet at the presentation. You said it's already a crisis. We think you have some time, but not a lot of time.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. Philip Payne with the Urban Land Institute. We've just run out of time. I appreciate your time and insight on this. And also, Spencer Smith, thanks for coming in and giving us some perspective on how these high rents are hurting Collier families. I really appreciate you coming in. We're going to have to leave it there today. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui, with technical help from Kevin Trueblood. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.